The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Because we're going to talk about a subject that can be a little bit touchy for some of us, either because we don't necessarily understand the concept or we don't quite know how to get to where we want to be. My next guest, who is the author of Fully Known, An Invitation to True Intimacy with God, she writes that we're made for intimacy, spiritual intimacy with God that brings oneness and bears powerful fruit. We were made to know him and to be known by him fully. So the question is, why do we so often feel burned out, distanced, and disheartened? Well, my next guest is Mo Akin. She's a New York Times bestselling author. She's back with a new book, Fully Known, An Invitation to True Intimacy with God. She invites readers on a journey into an active communion with him. The book's written for people who feel disconnected from God, who feel burned out from religion, or desire to understand what it means to actually have a relationship with God. They hunger for more in the faith. Well, the blueprint of the book is the blueprint our Creator has given us, dynamic intimacy with God. What stands in opposition to that model can prevent us from fully experiencing what he has in store for us. Well, my next guest is the New York Times bestselling author of Wreck My Life and Sex, Jesus, and the Conversations, The Church for God, Mo Akin, who is Mo Isom. She collaborates for The Kingdom with Bold Life Initiative, a ministry that exists to challenge, encourage, and equip Christian followers to pursue holy and bold lives. And her family team maintains a thriving nationwide speaking ministry and facilitates a faith-centered blog that has garnered millions of views to date. She and her husband, Jeremiah, they live with their three sons, soon to be four, by the way, in Atlanta, Georgia. Mo, thank you so much for joining us today, and congratulations.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you. And I appreciate it. Yeah, we're a week away from number four. So it's all hands on deck over here.
Oh, absolutely. Again, congratulations. You know, we use the word intimacy a lot. And in certain contexts, we think we have a pretty good idea of what that means. But can we define the term intimacy in the context of our relationship with God? I mean, he knows everything about us. Is that what the scripture refers to as intimacy, that he knows us while we may or may not know him very well? What are we looking at in terms of the goal of our relationship with Christ?
Yes, the beauty of true intimacy, even as we think about it in the context of a marriage relationship, right? It is a mutual knowing and being known. It is vulnerability. It's transparency. It's a oneness that comes from, really being drawn together and pulling back the layers of one another, learning of one another, and exploring one another at greater depth. So there was a season, a time where I was doing a lot of great things for the kingdom, ministering, traveling, a wife, a mom. It felt like doing a lot for God. But it was like my spirit came up for air and felt so far from God, felt so disconnected and hungry for his presence, and burnt out, to be honest, because we can do a lot, but if we're not connected to that true power source, our first love, then that fruit we bear is really by our own efforts. When he says, no, draw near to me, I will draw near to you, and I want to know you and for you to know me, and the fruit that comes from that, and that's that spirit-conceived fruit that builds the kingdom and that we're sustained by. So The truth of intimacy is it's dynamic. It is mutual. It's a choice to continue to engage. And it so beautifully transforms everything when we understand it rightly.
You know, this notion of intimacy, I think repels us from pursuing God, and it also makes us long for that. On the one hand, we long to be known. On the other hand, we fear being known. Is that part of what prevents us from pressing in, that we'll be exposed, that the worst parts of us will somehow create an impediment in our relationship with God, which is just contrary to what Scripture encourages us to do? But is that part of what prevents us from pressing into God as He moves toward us?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, there's so many encounters that we've had in our own lives or experiences. Think of, you know, authority figures that have been over us, or maybe relationships with our parents, or intimate relationships we've had with other people that have left us hurt or confused or wounded, or our perception of trusting is violated, or, you know, any number of unhealthy relationships with man, with one another. These things deeply impress on us our understanding of intimacy. So, man, then here in the Scriptures, well, the invitation is to be intimate with God. And we're like, I don't want anything to do with that, because that left me hurt, or I laid myself bare for someone, you know, my heart, and they left me, they rejected me. It leads us to believe that God will love us the same as other relationships have been. But the truth is that his love is actually perfect. And it's abiding, and it stays, and it's long-suffering, and it's gracious, and it's kind, and he doesn't force himself upon us. He reveals himself, and he gives us a choice to choose to engage with him. And a big part of writing this book, and even navigating healing for myself as I began to explore true intimacy with God, was processing through, hey, why am I terrified to be vulnerable? Why does every time, you know, sin is revealed in me, do I just shut down or want to run from that engagement? When really the word says that conviction from the Holy Spirit is a work of the Spirit. It's a good thing. It's meant to do a beautiful heart surgery on us, you know, to draw what's in the darkness out into light, and to set us free, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. But a lot of the times, because we're confused to the dynamic layers of intimacy, we just want what feels good or makes us feel good and happy. And if it doesn't, we don't really want much to do with it. We miss out on this sanctifying, transformative love that is layered and dynamic, but is sure. And man, is good on its word and promises us of its staying power.
We're talking with Mo Akin. She's the author of Fully Known, An Invitation to True Intimacy with God. In the introduction you write, let me start by sharing a truth your heart is likely longing to be reminded. You were made to know intimacy with God. You were created to commune with your Creator. Tuned to know that sound, the sound of the Good Shepherd's voice, designed to experience his dignifying touch, and sculpted by him to house his perfect and powerful Spirit. You are who he loves, and God has made a way for you to know him and be known by him both now and forevermore. That's such a beautiful reminder of what we are intended to be. But you also write that intimacy comes with great cost. What is the cost that we might expect as we follow God's invitation to press into him?
Yeah, it's the reality of, again, as we liken it to a marriage covenant, it's the reality of a mutual commitment. What marriage doesn't really look like, though we see this a lot around us, is basically, I choose you and I hope you keep me happy. And if I'm not happy, then I change my mind. But the truth of healthy covenant is a mutual exchange. You give all for me, I give all for you. And we know that Christ gave everything for us. He laid down his life to save us, to redeem us. And so this mutual engagement is that we're not abusive of grace or picking and choosing when we want to claim God and living our lives, you know, a different way the other days of the week. But It's a mutual laying down of our life. What would you have of me, Lord? Where would you have me go? What would you point out in me that, you know, I should turn from? How would you use me to build your kingdom? And that picture of mutual exchange looks a lot like the work of the cross, which was self-sacrifice. And it's what it looks like a lot in our lives as well. There is cost of our wants sometimes, our will, to align ourselves with his heart, his way, and his works. And while it seems like, man, I don't want to think about the cost, that just seems like a lot. I think the beautiful invitation is to also focus on the great gain. Because when we will begin to live in step in oneness with him in that way, yes, there's cost, but the gain that comes to see the kingdom built, to see captives set free, to see people's lives transformed by his love, to see the work that he wants to do in and through us, makes every moment of it worth it. And so this intimacy not only transforms us from the inside out, but it also is what empowers us by his grace to love our neighbors well. And are those not the greatest two commandments, right? Love the Lord your God with all, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the beauty of intimacy with him is that it only heals and helps restore our understanding of right-natured intimacy with one another. And I think we'll see transformation over the body of Christ when we embrace these two things and learn to love and to speak and carry truth well, because we've been loved and we've been ministered to by truth in that hidden place with God.
Yes, yes. Once again, the book is Fully Known, An Invitation to True Intimacy with God. It's a concept that many of us long for. And in Fully Known, how we get there and the benefits of the intimacy that God invites us to with himself is explained in a way that I think will inspire all of us to want to rush toward him as he calls us. Now, I know many of us are very busy doing kingdom work. You mentioned that one of the inspirations for the book was the fact that you were busy doing a lot of things, but there was something lacking. What do you say to those who feel, well, they're burned out, either with service to the church, with Christianity in general, but there's that lack of intimacy that fuels joyful ministry moving forward, and, you know, we're ready to just give up.
Right. Well, I would first say it's the very place I found myself, like you mentioned. And so I don't think it's unfamiliar ground for those who are navigating the faith. I actually think it's an area we don't speak into enough. And so a lot of people become confused, disheartened, kind of shamed around. Well, I do believe in Jesus, but this is exhausting, or this can't be the fullness of what this blood-bought grace is able to do in my life. And we wrestle sort of this shame in that spot. But I think sometimes it takes us stepping back and bending a knee and slowing down to realize, oh, my works are preceding my time with him, my intimacy with him. How many people in the ministry burn out because there are so many things to do, but they don't know how to just be with God, or it is not priority to simply be with him in his presence because our task list runs so deep, we don't have the time. But the reality is that he has great works in store for our lives, but they are the works that are born out of that intimate, quiet, prioritized space. And those works conceived by the Spirit, those are sustainable, because we begin building the kingdom of God as he instructs, you know, by his hand, versus working so hard to do what we think is best and really burning out in the process. And it's countercultural, right? It's even offensive to many to say, hey, maybe we Sabbath, maybe we settle down, maybe we rest at his feet, maybe you step away for a while. But if we look even at the story of Mary and Martha, whom I love both, and Jesus loved both of those women, we give Martha a hard rap a lot of the time, but she was laboring from good intention, from a pure heart place that wanted to serve the Lord. But what Jesus says in that exchange, when Mary asked him to rebuke Or when Martha asks him to rebuke Mary for simply sitting at his feet, he says, "Martha, you are concerned about so many things. But if you're going to be concerned about anything, let it be this. Mary has found it, and it cannot be taken from her." And I just see in the scriptures this illumination of actual permission from Jesus to concern ourselves with something. But that concern is not, how am I going to fit in Jesus? You know, how am I going to fit in my time with God amongst all my other demands? The concern kind of flips of, how am I going to fit in the needs of life outside of this prioritization of being at his feet? Mm. And he says that what Mary has found there, it can't be taken from her. And I don't know about you, but I want the treasures of heaven that can't be taken, no matter what the demands of life are, this world looks like, or, you know, the circumstances around me. That prioritization, that posture of being with him is ours, and it can't be stolen. It can't be taken. And I think it's a truth that many of us need to wrestle with and receive, that it's okay to slow down. It's okay to stop. Man, this book took me 2.5 years because he convicted me in the process of writing it, and I had to stop for a while to be with him so I could actually bring forth the words that he intended, not just that my own best efforts could work up. But that's a hard sell for people, for our culture where we're goers and doers and everything can be done so fast and our schedules can be so full. But it's a holy sell to those who really want to know life and life abundantly with him.
Yeah, a life of surrender where he's the priority. Now, some of us do, well, the minimum, if you will, just enough to pursue the relationship with God, but don't want to go any further or have to. What do we miss when we settle for the least of what's available to us in our relationship with Christ, as opposed to doing what you just described, making the choice to believe what the scriptures say, that intimacy with him far outweighs in value and virtually anything else than just pursuing what we are familiar with, what we can do on our own, and, you know, with the guarantee, well, I'm going to get to heaven. It's just, I may not know the King of heaven as well as some others who are there.
Well, that's what we have to wrestle with. That was the very scripture that challenged me and brought things deeper in my heart. Matthew 7:21-23, where Jesus says, "Not all who say to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, only those who do the will of my Father. And many will say to me, 'Well, you know, did we not prophesy? We cast demons, we perform miracles.' But to them I will say, 'Depart from me, I never knew you. Away from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" And I began to wrestle with this scripture because for a while I dismissed it as, oh, it's just non-believers, you know, that it's speaking to. But he's saying, no, there are many who will call me Lord, but they even go on to argue their great works, right? But his response is, yeah, but I never knew you. And so the prioritization really of the gospel there, the assuredness, the day we stand before him, that we wouldn't tremble in fear, but that we would have been made perfect in his love, as the word says, is that the priority is to know him. This word, this in Hebrew means yada. It is the same version of the word used when it said, like, "And Joseph had not yet known Mary," or "The man took his wife and he knew her." It implies a deep, connected oneness. And so when I began to understand that, a scary piece of scripture actually became a beautiful invitation. But it was sobering in the reality that just claiming his name and then abusing his grace, it doesn't make evident that the gospel has transformed our lives. You know, many doing just the bare minimum, we've sort of bought into, I think, a cultural sell maybe of the gospel. But I want to be sure, I want to know in my heart, in my spirit, that he was my life source, that my life was one with him, that my days weren't wasted or I wasn't deceived. But that I took accountability for my own walk and didn't just perform, but I'll stand before him and hear well done, because I knew his voice and I followed him and I received his love and I poured out my life in response. And it's so much deeper. I think a lot of the times, especially when we are walking in maybe a place of that more shallow faith, or maybe that cultural buy-in, and we say Lord, but it's sort of a compartmentalized piece of our days. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes that comes from a heart posture of maybe not even realizing the full and powerful and abundant access that we have to the Spirit of the living God, as if we have to go through someone else, as if we could only learn from, you know, whosoever looks like they're such a strong Christian. No, we have the very bread of life, the Word of God, right at our fingertips. I mean, you could have it as an app on your phone. We have the Spirit of the living God eager to commune individually and uniquely and specifically with each one of us. And so if there's someone listening who maybe finds themselves in that place, I would just compel them into depths, into the deeper waters. There is more. Just as the excerpt you read from the book, we were made to know our Maker, created to commune with him. And this isn't reserved for an elite few. This is the invitation to all by way of the gospel. He wants to speak to you. He wants to know you. He wants to guide you and answer your cries, your questions. And you have that very same access that I have, that your pastor has, that whosoever around you has. It's just the willingness to receive that and to draw near to that invitation versus running from it or dismissing it as unimportant.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the book is beautifully written. It certainly has challenged me, and I'm going to go back and study through many portions of it. The book is Fully Known, An Invitation to True Intimacy with God. Mo Akin, thank you for taking those couple of years to write the book and to listen to and be guided by the Spirit. And I'll certainly keep you in prayer as you're just days away from son number four. Really appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much. Be blessed.
You too. Again, Mo Akin, Fully Known, An Invitation to True Intimacy with God, a great book. And during this season where we have perhaps a little more time, it's a great opportunity to take stock of where we stand in our relationship with God and if we're taking full advantage of all that he has made available through to us.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.